bless you, Miss Jean.
I just think the fact the Lord, he's been so, so good to me. He gave me a Christian home. When I was raised in a religious home, he gave me a Christian home. He saw me, he bought me, and I can't thank you enough for that. Raised my kids upright, and they're serving him. I thank you so much for that. He's using us. I just don't understand. We're so unworthy, so unworthy, and God is using us in a totally different way than I ever dreamed.
Yeah.
I mean, who would ever think that somebody from Turntown, Tennessee would go to Kenya to teach anybody anything, let alone God's Word, the most important thing
That's
you could teach anybody. I just thank him and praise him for all he does.
Yes, amen.
Thank you.
amen.
That's all right.
What you've been preaching to us, preacher, and what they just say, the house has not yet been sold. How can we just sit here?
Yeah.
How can we just sit here? God has done it all. We didn't know what we were getting when we got saved. How can you want to give us?
Isn't that amazing?
How does that happen? But he does. And he wants us to love each other like he loves us.
Yes.
And he gives us the ability to do it.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
I can't get over it. I just love it.
Yeah.
Jesus gave me, for me, the best mom ever. And as I was growing up, my mom wasn't a typical mom. She had problems and different things and other things happened in our lives at a time. I wasn't thankful for her.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful for that. So sometimes I get to use what I learned from her. Sometimes I get out of the way and it comes through to others. And to think about what she can see now and how perfect it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, I was so wrong. He's not any the greater, and he's always been that great, but it does change how you feel about him.
Yes. Yeah, I always treasure that. Good. They sang that song, I couldn't help but think. 1 Kings chapter 10, it says that when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. Now, not concerning anything else yet, but concerning the name of the Lord. And then it says down in verse 7, howbeit I believe not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. And I thought, well, you know, that's the way it is. What the Lord has done, the half's never been told. It don't matter. We can't believe all the words. I just can't believe it. Won't lodge in there. But can I tell you, it's all more than what we ever taught. And I can only tell you this. It'll only get better if you let it. It only get better if you let it. I do believe with all my heart that we've spent many years licking the rim of the pot, taste it every now and then. We'll put the dipper down and taste it, but I don't know that we've ever stirred it up either. I believe we spend too much time licking the rim. I believe we ever get down in where all the good's at.
Yeah.
Huh? We get down in where all the good's at. I believe in that. I think we can say then, boy, ain't the Lord good? Huh? We won't be able to contain ourselves. All right. We'll give you a few thoughts tonight. I know you might be worried about the weather being a little cooler, so I'm going to get maybe a little icy or something tonight, so I'm not going to keep you near as long as I have in the past. All right? So you can just count anything way back here in 20 years, okay? And we'll see. All right? It won't be as near as long as I have been able to, but we want to... I want to try to help us. Now, everybody understand. Now, the message this morning was tough. It was tough. But I'll give you what the Bible said. You know what the Bible said. The Bible speaks that His ways are not grievous. We make them grievous. His ways ain't grievous. His truths are not grievous. His commandments, they're not. That's what the Bible said. Now, of course, you can't. If you can believe it. You can believe it, can't you?
Yeah.
I believe it. I believe it. So they tell me it ain't grievous, so guess what? It ain't grievous. So if the rub comes in, it's on my end, not on his end.
That's right.
All right? So I want you to think about that. But I want to help us. I'm not trying to help you. I'm trying to help us.
Yeah.
Us as a church, and Lord knows we need help. I appreciate the young people. I love them. I love them. Someday I'll tell you what we're all laughing about. I can't tonight, but I love them. I do my best to love you tonight. I'm trying to love you more. I'm trying to show you more. I'm trying to tell you more. I want to see you do good. Doug Fisher told me in 2005, he said, "Preacher, we got to make sure our people have a better judgment seat." He said, "We got to make sure our people have a better judgment seat." And I think of that an awful lot. God, help me to help you have a better judgment seat. Huh? So you can be way up there at the head of the line. Huh? With everything said and done. And your rewards will be way up there. That'll be all right. That'll be all right. We want our children to shine, do we not? We look at ourselves and we see our mistakes and all the bad choices. And we want our children to have so much more and to go so much further. You know? And that's how I feel toward you tonight. I want you to go so much further. I want you to have so much more. There's so much more in this wonderful book. We ain't touched it yet. We ain't touched it. Man, I'm going to college. I've learned more in the past few months on Thursday nights than I've learned in 39 years. Come March will be 39 years of preaching. I've learned more since October than I've learned in all them years preaching. And it's stuck. Huh? One of these days, we're just gonna have preach outside so we can eat and we don't have to stop. And I'm just going to preach all day.
Yeah.
I'm going to start about 8 o'clock. And as long as y'all got a place to go to the bathroom and eat, y'all probably sit there. And I just want to preach like Ezra did. Just preach for 4 hours. I'll let y'all sit. Y'all don't have to stand. But I just want to read for 4 hours. Huh? Read the Bible for 4 hours. Huh? Read till noon. Then have a bologna sandwich. Y'all can just eat. And then I'll just read you another 4 hours. Won't that be good? We may do that one day. Father, help us tonight. I need you, Lord. I fail. Oh God, I fail. I'm sorry. I fail. Help me to be more. Help me to do more. Lord, help me to be what you say I'm to be. Lord, I don't want an extra. Lord, I read your word tells me after I've done all that you commanded, yet am I unprofitable. Lord, I want to, if I just break even, Lord, that would be a lot better than I've been doing. So, Lord, help me just to give all I got tonight for your glory, that you might be magnified in every person that hears this tonight. In Jesus' name, please help me. Touch me fresh, cleanse me, give me power as you see fit, preach me as you want. And I thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Now we're looking at love. I had never thought loving would be so tough. I thought loving was supposed to be nice and sweet. And I thought loving was supposed to make you feel all fuzzy inside, huh? And love makes us run, hide. What I've been preaching makes us bow our heads, makes us want to get out. But there's been improvement. Now, she ain't here tonight. I hope she hears this. Joe Gerwig Rogers said it's doing her a lot of good. He said it's doing her more good than anything. Said it used to be she liked to kick him in the shins. Now she loves to do it. So he said love's helping us. All right. So maybe there's a little help here and there, okay? But I just never thought that at love. I never, real honestly, now I'm talking to you now, you don't know where I'm standing. It's different here than it is back there. And I never thought in December when I was not making outlines, but I was making a list, in a sense, of topics, if you would. You know, loving the enemy, loving the God, all that, you know, just writing that down, trying to get it in my mind so I could study all of them at one time. I mean, that's what I do, okay? And I said, well, this is, we're going to start out the good new year, boys. We're going to have a good time, preach on love. People get excited. And after I preached the first message, I said, heavenly sunlight. I preached on God's love for us, and it wasn't enough. I said, wow. If we can't shout on God loves us, then down the line, I'll probably get shot before I get done. Huh? That's why somebody asked me how things went this morning. I said, well, I'm not shot yet. That was my reply. Let's love more in 2024. You serve what you love. You love what you serve. And there's no love without service. Now, that's true. And there's some of these things I'm going to keep repeating that someday I'll ask you and you're going to tell me back, because it's going to be lodged in your head. Brother Rick Childers, he can almost tell you everything I've been telling. He just repeat it back to me. He say he's got that massive brain anyway, but he tells me that. You serve what you love. You love what you serve. And there is no love without service. Now, that's common sense. What that is. That's common sense. All right? Now let's look on. Love is the unselfish concern about another's welfare. Anybody got that memorized yet? Love is the unselfish concern about another's welfare. If I love you, I want you to have it better. You talk about your mama's love. My little frail mama is here at the funeral with Daryl and she's just frail. She's just frail. And 93 pounds, just shriveled up. But she has loved me and give heavenly. Sunlight, she has give and give and give and give. So I never question her love. Not one time do I question it. And you talk about unselfish concern about another's welfare, huh? I tell you how much she loves me. She say, Mark, you got to lose weight. I said, I know. Well, you want me to fix you something to eat? That's how much she loves. She loves me. Then she worries about my health. And then she loves me enough that she'll go fix me something, whatever I ask for. But that's love. Love is the unselfish concern about another's welfare. Love is that act of one person seeking. Think about that. Seeking. Not wanting, but seeking. There's a vast difference there. I want all y'all to do good, but I need to be seeking the highest good. How can I bring the highest good to you? Everybody understand what I'm saying?
It's not just, oh, I'd love everybody to have it. No, I want to do my part in seeking that you have everything. Huh? That's love. That's love tonight. The highest good for another person. And since we all family, and since I'm supposed to love you equally, and he's saying, wait a minute, I think that's going too far. Well, that's not going too far. Cheryl Ann is my sister. I hate to break this to you, but we're not going to have a marital relationship in heaven. I hate to break it to you. She'll be my sister. Now let me say that again, because I can see some of you thinking. I'm not going to have a marital relationship. Well, I know her, and I'm sure I'll know who she is. That ain't gonna be, but that's not going to be the interest. The interest is going to be in Him. And as brother and sister, we will spend eternity praising and serving God. We okay? So we be family. 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 No different. So I'm to love you, and I'm to love you equally. You say, I can't do that. No, I can't either. I can't either. But there's somebody living in me that will help me do it. There's somebody in me that will enable me to do it because He said to do it. He just said to love. All right? We still okay? All right, let's look right quick tonight. We looked at God's love for a sinner, God's love for His children, our love for God, loving our enemies, loving the brethren, part one, loving the brethren, part two, now tonight, loving the brethren, part three. And then we'll just be surprised next time you see what it is. All right? Might be four, might be part one of another. But loving the brethren, part three. All right? What does it mean to love the brethren? Remember now, it means that we are to be deliberate, on purpose, cultivating or growing or nurturing or feeding or fertilizing and showing true Christian love to our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what we're supposed to be working at. Anybody that's ever raised a garden knows if you don't fool with it, you ain't going to have nothing. If you don't cultivate it, if you don't fertilize it, if you don't pay attention and other stuff don't come in, if you make sure that no varmints get in, that no bugs come in, that no blight comes in. I think a lot of times we're blight. We got blight. All right? And we need spray right good, huh? Maybe that's what we need. But I want you to understand it's got to be deliberate. I love to raise a garden. And I love to, on purpose, go out and I'll tell them, I'm going to go work out my beans. So I don't go out there and just hit a lick in there. I work out my beans. They start at the end of the row. I go through and I work them out. Or my peas or whatever it may be. And I work it out. I cultivate it because I want what it's going to produce. That's the way I'm supposed to do with my love and your love. We're supposed to be cultivating it that it produces what the Lord has put inside.
Right.
See, we don't know. We've not arrived yet. Okay? And you say, well, I love everybody. I'm glad to go to church. Then you'll be gladder.
Right.
It'll be better. It'll be sweeter.
Right.
All right? But we're going to have to cultivate it. Because it ain't just going to lay there and grow. All right? In other words, we are to live as if our fellow believers are family, and we are to love them like they are family because they are family.
That's right.
All right? You are family. You are family.
Right.
You are family.
Right.
Now, I don't want to cut loose like the we are family and start on that, so we all older ones will get loose there. But I'm telling you, we're family. Alright? Loving one another. Loving one another. I didn't put up her tonight, but listen, it ain't no joke. It ain't. We're going to have to quit laughing about it. If you have a hard time loving me, you're not right with God. Let me just look you in the eyeball and tell you. If you're having a hard time loving me, you ain't right with God. And if I'm having a hard time loving you, I ain't right with God. If you're having a hard time loving anybody, it's not their fault. Whoever you're having a hard time loving is your fault, not their fault. Okay? Everybody understand that? So you need to look and deal with that person in the mirror. Alright? We must all remember we are servants. If I'm going to love you, then I'm going to have to serve you. Because I'm going to serve what I love. I love what I serve, I serve what I love, and there's no love without service, right? So we got to remember we're just servants. Now, I'm the pastor, okay? I don't have a big sign and say, the authority's here. I don't do that. I've never done that, and I never will do that. Because I'm supposed to be a servant. Do you know why I serve the men after we have communion? When we have communion? Do y'all know why I do what I do? I've never told you. You know, we serve communion. I have the men serve everybody, and then we put everything, and then I serve the men. Because I'm a servant of servants. I won't let them serve me. Not out of pride, but because I'm the servant of servants. They serve you, then I serve them. So they can keep serving you, and I keep serving them. And that's the way it's supposed to go. You understand? We are to serve one another, and serving one another brings with it humility. Serving one another does not bring pride or pick us up or set us somewhere. But true service will bring humility. You understand that? Now, we might get cocky and say, well, look what I do. Well, then we've lost the whole thing. That's doing for it, but what I'm talking about is service. Serving. Had a young man come to my office tonight, knocked on the door, and I was in there and I said, is there anything you need, preacher? One of my mighty men came in, just checked on me tonight. I appreciate it so much. You know what he was doing? Trying to serve. I said, no, sir, I'm good right now. He said, okay, and left. That's all he wanted. Didn't want to talk. Knocked on the door, hey, anything I need? Can I get you anything? Can I do anything for you? That's a servant. It ought to be for the welfare of someone else. But it'll bring humility. He didn't leave bouncing up and down, clapping his hands, hollering. I checked on the preacher. He just went out on his own, just went on. All right? Everybody understand? When I come in this church, you ask me, and I've said this before, we've discussed it. I don't want you to worry about me. Okay? I'm here. That's a miracle in itself. All right? I don't want you to worry about me, so I'm not going to complain to you. Huh? But I want to hear your problems because I'm your servant. You understand? I'm your servant. Now let me say that again. I'm your servant. And that's because that's what the Bible teaches. You know, y'all were bringing on the meal Friday night. Well, let me tell you, the preacher didn't cook everything. Brother Rick and Trista helped me cook. Now, I mean, we all done our different things, but and what we cook, that's not important, but I just want to tell you, it wasn't just me. They deserve as much thanks as Rick Chipman stood there and peeled 40 pounds of potatoes. All right? And was happy about it. Huh? Reason I know, because he sang, we listened to preaching, and he sang. And you know what? And Trista helped me, come at noon, helped me. I just want to say, I appreciate y'all helping me. All right? But I wasn't satisfied eating now, not because of pride, but when y'all sit down to eat, I want to make sure y'all's okay. Right. It didn't matter if I eat or not. Because I'm trying to tell you, I do love you tonight. Yes. And I am your pastor, I am your shepherd, yes. But I'm to lead you in the way you're supposed to go, as the Lord does. Now, you know, I'm not taking the place of the Lord, but I'm supposed to help guide you. And I cannot do that, huh? If I don't have humility, if I don't love you and do a serve, we okay? But yet, then I turn right around, I'm also a church member. I'm not just, I'm your brother also. I'm your preacher, but I'm your brother. You know? Trista called me there one time, brother, uncle, preacher. I mean, she's, I don't know what all she had, a whole big line there. Brother, uncle, preacher, will you do this? Well, that's what I am. So then, in that respect, then you are to serve me. In that respect, you're to help me. In that respect, you're supposed to be humble enough to help me. But not out of being afraid or not out of because I have authority. Just because I'm your brother. Just because I'm your brother. See, just because you're my brother, my sister, that ought to be all that's necessary for me to serve you is because I'm your brother and you're my brother or you're my sister. We're to serve one or serving one another brings with it humility. Does everybody understand me tonight? Let's look at some scripture then. John chapter 13. Let's look at verses 2 through 5 to start with. And supper being ended, this is the last supper. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, speaking of betraying Jesus. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. Right? The Lord, Jesus knew everything was going on. Yep. He was God. He was going, everything's under his control. Everybody with me? He rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Now this is God who put on a robe of flesh, girded himself, got him a basin of water, and when he poured the water into the basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. How would you feel tonight if God walked up to you and said, would you please slip your shoes off? Let me have your old stinking, dirty, calloused, corn-toed, ingrown toenail feet and let me wash them and kneel down and wash your feet. How would you feel if he done that? Huh? How would that be? Huh? God showed us that he loved us and told us we ought to love like he loved. Huh? Now, I'm not instituting a feet wash. That's not the point of none of the scripture. All right? But I'm telling you, that's what God did. God didn't just die on Calvary. He washed their feet. Huh? Are y'all listening to what I'm telling you tonight? Don't ever take the love of God lightly. Don't ever say it was a little thing, because he done more than just die. The humiliation, the humility that he come and done and condescended from glory and power and might and the Creator put on a robe of flesh and washed in his feet. Wow, is all I can say. Huh? John 13 and 12, drop down to verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he said to them, know you what I have done to you? He said, I've done it now. Do you understand what I've done? Do you understand what's going on here? He said, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, then ye also ought to wash one another's feet. If God would come down, put on a robe of flesh, and humble himself down to where he would wash the disciples' feet, he said, then you ought to have enough in you that you would care enough for your brothers and sisters that you'd wash their feet just the same. That's what he's teaching. But you know it's hard to do that with pride in her mouth. Hard to do it with pride in her teeth, you know. But to humble ourselves. Now, some of you ladies, y'all wouldn't even think about it. Y'all just jump right in there. Some of us men, I ain't washing their feet. What would you do, Woodrow? Huh? What would you do? If I said, listen, I need you to wash my feet, I ain't washing your stinking feet, Papa. Huh? That'd be the first thing you say, and you'd laugh just like you are now. But we're kin. We're double kin. You're my brother grandson. I'm your brother Papa. But yet you would hesitate, even though you love me so much. We okay?
Yeah.
We say we love one another so much, but we would hesitate to humble ourselves down that far. Huh? Now, if we're going to do it and everybody line up, we'd be embarrassed if we didn't do it. And everybody take their part. I can just see some of you working, see? Huh? Right? We okay?
Yeah.
I just see how some of you do it. I mean, it'd be... Huh? Be how some of y'all would be. The Lord didn't do that. I believe the Lord rubbed their feet like they'd never been rubbed before. I believe in hands that carved out everything. Can you imagine washing the feet of them disciples as they sit there in awe watching the Creator wash their feet? As a brotherly gesture, because that's what washing feet was as hospitality and love to someone who would come to their house, just to show you ordinary love. Huh? We okay? He said, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. I'll give you the example. What was our verse? Love one another even as I have loved you. See our example? We still okay? We see serving one another is the lesson. Humility is the lesson. Love is the lesson, not a doctrine of feet washing in a church service. That ain't got nothing to do with it. It's serving one another in humility and love. And look who he washed. He washed the enemy's feet and brother's feet also. Judas hadn't left yet. Judas was right there. He washed a betrayer's feet. He washed the one who was fixing to deny his feet. He washed the one that he was even doubting that he was God. And he washed his feet too. Huh? And he's telling us we ought to have enough humility about us that if somebody in here has betrayed us, or somebody in here has denied who they are associated with us, or somebody here has denied, then we ought to still be able to bow down and wash their feet in love and humility and service tonight. That's loving one another. That's tough, ain't it? But the reason it's tough is because we're never taught to do that. R.C. told us there a while ago when he was fessing up there. Did you hear what he said? He said, I was taught, I was raised. You cross me and I'll give you the right hand of fellowship backwards. Huh? I was taught the same way. Of course, I was taught to do it right. Don't start it. You know. But make sure you finish it. You know. Ain't that how we was taught? Is that not a shame? Jesus didn't teach that. He said, wash your enemy's feet. Wash your betrayer's feet. Wash your denier's feet. Wash the ones that don't want nothing to do with it. Kneel down and wash them. I just wondered. Didn't he call him a sissy? For after just a little bit, they beat him, and he took it. They beat him like no man had ever been beaten. He took it. And then he picked up the cross and carried it. Huh? Laid down on it, said, all right, there it is, nail her down. Before he laid down his life, they didn't take it from him. He didn't fight. He laid his life down. He laid that hand down and said, go ahead and nail her tight, boys. Huh? I wonder if he said, go ahead and nail her tight. Nail my feet tight. I'm doing it for you. Huh? He wasn't no sissy. But he sure had humility. Others, Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true, and know that all I'll do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep and all in vain. May efforts be to rise again, unless to live for others. And when my work on earth is done and my new work in heaven begun, may I forget the crown I've won while thinking still of others. Others, Lord, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live like Thee. That I'll be our desire. That I'll be one of our prayer. God, help me to live like You. Help me for others. For others. Huh? For others. Matthew 20, 27, 28 says, "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." Huh? We want to be up on the high seat to be the servant. Huh? Instead of being the one that says, "There ain't bring anything, go clean the toilet." Huh? We gotta be willing. You understand? We're talking about loving. Okay, we're still on love. Huh? Galatians 5, 13 and 14 says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Love. Loving the brethren, loving one another. Huh? How about supporting one another? Should we be supporting one another? Or should we be against one another? If I allow, we ought to be supporting one another. Right? Romans 15:1 says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." Do we do that? Do we live that way? Does it cross our mind? I mean, we've got a Bible, we're reading our Bible through every year, we're reading our Bible, but does it cross our mind to do what it says? We read it, there's some more, I read it. Okay, what does that say? I have no clue. Then you didn't read it. If you read it and don't know what it says, you didn't read it. Huh? You say, "Well, I can't remember." Yes, you can. You can remember. Don't tell me that. Huh? You women, you remember recipes, you remember clothes, remember where you got it, you remember names. Before cell phones come up, we know hundreds of phone numbers. Now we just got to look and hit buttons, and we don't even know how to work our phone, but we got to hit our contacts. There used to be, we know the area code, the whole phone number. Huh? We know, we'd be working, women, let's go back a little ways. You women be working, mopping here, ring, 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 ring. No, that's so-and-so's number, that's not mine. Remember when we had the party line, and it would ring? You know, I mean that day, where's the party line? Huh? I think ours was one short and a long, I believe the way ours was. Mama's was two shorts. Either short and a long and a short, or two shorts and a long. But we said, "No, that's Mama's. Don't answer. That's Mama's son." Huh? Some of y'all look at me like you have no clue what I'm saying. A phone used to be on the wall with a cord. You know? And they go, "Hey, Carolyn Warburton, you still got yours?" It was Carolyn. If you want to see one, go to Carolyn's. It still talks. You push a button here. Right? But it would ring And everybody in the community was on the same line. Just exactly like Andy did. Sarah! Sarah! Tell so-and-so to get off the phone. I got to have a line. Keep the line clear. That's where it was. And then if you wanted to be nosy, you'd pick up your Wheezy. Anybody ever do that? I did. Anybody else ever do that? Pick up and see what they're talking about. Whoever's on here, hang up. I've heard that many times. We then that are strong enough to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please yourself. Can I ask you tonight, do you purposely try to bear the infirmities of the weak? Do you set out to do that? Do you seek to do that? Is that in your plan? To bear the infirmities of the weak. But yet the Bible said to do it. You know what we're interested in doing? Going to heaven, but acting like we're going to hell. But we're going to heaven. We just live like we're going to hell. That's all we're just interested in the end result. I'm not going to hell. And forget you, brother. I ain't got time for you. That's why we don't witness and soul win and knock on doors. Because we don't love one another. We definitely don't love them. That's another message. I'm just preaching. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good. Why? Frank and Brenda don't need me. But yet, they're not just my neighbor. You're my neighbor. I think maybe Jesus said that. Who is my neighbor? Ain't that what he asked? Who is my neighbor? And allow, he said, all of y'all are. We okay? Remember them scriptures? How many of us have read them scriptures?
Yeah.
Hold on if you ever read them scriptures I've been talking about. But how come we don't do them? Galatians 6:2. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now that first verse we used this morning, Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken of fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one, lest ye fall in the same temptation. Something like that. That may be a few words off there. This verse is concerning that same context. That those who are burdened down, who's had faults and problems, and those who are having a hard time, maybe they've sinned, maybe they're living in sin, maybe they've made some mistakes. Okay? Do we ever go to, instead of not just restore them, but do we ever go and bear their burden? We ever go around and slip our arm around? My pawpaw done this. My pawpaw done this. Let me tell you what. I done some things wrong. Pawpaw slipped around and said, "Ma, sure loves you." I said, "You're not going to do that anymore." He said, "No, sir." He said, "It'll be okay." But what he was doing, he was helping me bear my burden. We okay? See, being a Christian is being like Christ. Christ ain't here. And he come inside of us. Do you understand why he come inside you? Alright? Now, even though he was God and put on a robe of flesh and he dwelt on earth, he was limited in how many people he could talk to. So he went back to glory and sent another comforter just like him that would be in every believer. That where every believer went, it was him going. So when the people got saved, it was Jesus going everywhere. So everybody could have the fellowship and another relationship because it's Christ in me, hope of glory. Did you did understand that? When you read that, that's why. Not just to take you to heaven. Everybody goes, "I got the Holy Ghost going to heaven." It's not about you going to heaven.
Right.
It's about us showing Christ.
Right.
Because we're to love one another.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me tonight? How about helping one another? supporting one another. How about helping one another? Now, there's a lot of ways to help. The other night, we was cleaning up downstairs. I started carrying something. Jared came by and grabbed out my hand. He said, "I'll take that." Okay, I went and got me another handful. Here he came. "I'll take that." Well, all right then. Just go ahead and do it. Well, I told you. Just go ahead and do it then. I ain't going to fight you for it. All right? That was help. I appreciate that help. There's a lot of help. But that ain't all it is. See, if we're friends, like Jesus told his disciples, we're family and we're friends. He said, "I'm not just going to call you a son, I'm going to call you my friend because I've told you everything that the Father's told me. So we're going to have a good relationship." Everybody still with me? Happens to start this morning. John chapter 15, I believe. We still okay? Talk to me if you live with me tonight. And they share things. Can I tell you, me and Steve, everybody gets on me because I don't ask for help. A lot of you men come to me and say, "You never ask for help. Why don't you ask for help? We'll help you. Just call. We'll help you." I know that. Okay, I know that. And you don't understand how much I appreciate it. Okay? And if I don't call you, it ain't because I don't want your help. I don't want to bother you. Okay? It ain't maybe that I don't need your help. But I would rather you go help somebody else than just leave me alone. I'll get it. You understand what I'm telling you? But it's more than physical. There's more involved. Acts 20:35 says, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than receive." There's more to it than just labor. It's included, but there's a lot more involved. We still okay? 1 John 3:17 says, "But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" We ought to be close enough and aware of what's going on that we know whether or not you need. Are we still okay? You know, can I say this? And I don't know how to say this right here. I've called a lot of people and asked them if they need anything. I'm not talking about labor. I'm talking about if they need anything. And you know, nobody, I don't know if anybody's ever said, "Yeah, I do." They always said, "No, I'm fine." Now, when I growed up, things was bad. Daddy had a heart attack, couldn't pass the physical, go back in the mines. He was the boss. This thing wouldn't work, so there was no income. Right? There was no income. When I was a freshman, before I got free lunch at school, we couldn't afford a reduced lunch. Couldn't afford a quarter. Couldn't afford a dime for a carton of milk. Right? That's how I was raised. Church didn't pay him nothing. He wasn't able to pastor. Couldn't do anything. Had a massive heart attack. People come by, "You need this, you need that." "Nope, don't need anything." Well, they wasn't nothing in the cabinet. They wasn't nothing in the refrigerator. I mean, I was raised where you only got a gallon of milk every half for six of us. All right? Every 2 weeks, 1 gallon of milk. It wasn't going to the store and get milk. Didn't get pop. I didn't grow up with pop. Huh? Come, you had water to the gravy. Huh? I'm serious. I didn't know you put milk in gravy till youth camp. I didn't know that. I didn't know. Who's going to waste milk in gravy? Drink milk, man. He ain't going to put in no gravy. He's water, flour, bacon grease. Huh? I mean, that's how I was raised, okay? But we'd always know, don't need no help. But you know what I've seen? I've seen L.T. Jordans come over to the house, not say a word, and set a bag of groceries down on the table and leave. So I watched my mommy and my daddy, big tears well up in their eyes, because But he shall have this world's good, seeing his brother have need. CLT was our friend. He was our brother. And John Johnson and Judy can say this. LT gave everything he had away all his life. Did he not, LT? Or did he not, John? I tell you what else. I show you a good Christian. LT got saved. Janelle called him and said, "Preacher," called Popo, said, "Preacher Bill, said, can you talk to LT?" And said, he's got, somebody's got to stop him. And he said, "Well, what's he doing, Janelle?" I said, "Well," said, "now, Bill, you know, I'll give anything away. I don't care." He said, "But he come home tonight and he emptied out our refrigerator and put it all on the floor and took it up a holler because so-and-so refrigerator went out." And he said, "Bill, I don't know where to put my stuff. I don't know what to do." That was L.T. Jordan. Have you ever seen anybody's need like that and done that? To dump all your stuff out on the floor and put your refrigerator in your truck and go take it up a holler because some other older woman didn't have one. And he didn't care if his stuff ran or not, but that woman needed it worse than him. That's what he said. I'm just asking tonight, do we even know what love is and brotherly love is? Do we understand what sends someone in need? Do we have to ask, why don't we just do? Huh? Philippians 2:4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Well, worry about what's going to cost me, what I'm going to have time for. Huh? I've been asked, where do you get all your time? Well, you just don't sleep. I'm like Sergeant York when he was trying to buy that land. He went to the feller told him, he said, you got 30 days to pay. He said, no, I got 60. He said, no, he said, I got 30 days and 30 nights. Yeah. So that was double the time. So yeah, now he said, I got now only 2 months to pay this thing off. Oh, you understand him? Yeah. He wasn't thinking about his time, he was thinking about what he needed. But you know, we don't look at it like that. Do you know that sometimes somebody just needs time? They don't need a bag of groceries. They don't need a $20 bill. They don't need a bill paid. All they need is 15 minutes of time to sit down, to just come by to holler at you. Huh. I'm talking about helping others. We okay? How about encouraging one another? I'm practicing, Jeremy. Jeremy Deese is the only one who thinks I'm going to encourage her. The only one. Bless his heart. He's young. He's young in the Lord. He ain't hardened yet. He ain't hardened like the rest of us. He still thinks I'm going to encourage her. I got to laugh because I've never been told that. Let me ask you this. If we're at a ball game and they bring a handicapped child on the field or a floor for them to try to make a basket or a touchdown, how do we respond? We holler, clap, whistle, cry, stand to our feet. Why? Why do we do that? There ain't no account. They're not helping the team. They can't play worth a nickel. So why do we do it? Because we're supporting them.
Right.
We want to encourage him to keep trying. But we don't do one another like that. We're all handicapped. Everybody in here is handicapped. And we'll say, what are you doing that for? Why you want to sing? You can't sing. I've probably told this before. I'm going to tell it again. In August, the last of August, 1992, all right, there was the first Sunday of August, this man come from Nevada, or come from California, and got saved. His name was Chester Dorsey. Chester Dorsey was just an old sinner, raised here in Summersville. Lucian Dorsey's brother, if any of y'all guys know Lucian, was all worked all the time at gunsmithing there in Angler's Roost around, shot guns. Anyway, Chester got saved on homecoming Sunday morning, first Sunday of August 1992. And he got thoroughly saved. I mean, he walked down, he was sitting on the third seat on this side of the Mount Lookout Church, and he came out and walked down the aisle with a big Moses walking stick like I had, and he got saved. Remember that day? It was Dave's uncle. And Mike Long, 2 weeks later, Mike Long was holding revival up at the Stump Chapel. And Dave Butler and Sammy Underwood and Harry Rogers went up there and they asked him to sing. And I'm just here to tell you, I love all of them, but they couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. Dave Butler and Sammy Underwood and Harry Rogers sung. It was almost the awfulest singing anybody's ever heard. I mean, it was. I love you, David. It was awful. It was awful. And Chester Dorsey sat there and cried. The tears just ran out of his face. And when they got done, he hugged old Dave. He said, "That's the worst singing I ever heard, and I loved every bit of it." That's what he said. What, remember that? He died. He went to glory. He got saved in August. The first Sunday of August, died in October with a heart attack. We went back up there. 1992. Been a long time, Dave. Huh? Encourage one another. Are you an encourager? Huh? Remember Paula Hickman?
Yes.
Paula Hickman. She couldn't carry on a good conversation, but when she stood up there and sung No Rug Across, what'd she say? "I've done the best I could."
Yes, exactly what she
said. And you know, we always encourage, but you know why we were such an encouragement to her? Because she was missing a little bit. If somebody else had got up here and couldn't sung down it, we'd have... Because we're selective. We're selective. We're still okay. I'm talking about encouraging one another. Helping one another. Huh? Encouragers actively listen with empathy. Now, empathy and sympathy are two different things. You know that. A couple letters different. Sympathy means I feel sorry for you. You're ugly and I feel sorry for you. That's sympathy. Empathy is that I'm ugly too and I know how you feel. Okay? Y'all know the difference? Sometimes you need a little understanding heart. Meaningful encouragement is grounded. Now, this ain't mine. I found it. I thought it was so good because that's too big a word for me. You know that. Meaningful encouragement is grounded in understanding. Being able to accurately interpret what other people are saying. Great encouragers consistently seek to understand people. What did I tell you last Friday night? When I said, "You got to think like people." Is that what I told you? That's what I said about it. Yeah, y'all think like people. And you say, "Well, that's a dumb statement." And you know how some of y'all think. Let me tell you why I said that. We was looking at her beans and her corn, and it looked like it was a lot more corn than it was beans. But it was the same amount. And Trista said, "Man, I don't know if that's going to be the amount." I said, "Well, here's what we'll do. We'll put the big spoon in the corn and put the little spoon in the beans." And I said, "Naturally, they're going to take the, when they go to get corn, they're not going to get as much because the spoon's too big."
Yep.
"And they'll be ashamed to get two spoons of beans with the little spoon, and we'll have plenty." And I told Rick, "You got to think like people." And he said, "What?" I said, "You got to think like people." And we had plenty of beans, plenty of corn. And everybody was full. Now, that was a discussion. That really happened. And y'all done well. What I want you to understand is we seek to understand people. Got to understand everybody ain't the same. Got to understand everybody's attitude, not everybody's disposition. Everybody ain't loud and boisterous, and some people don't say 10 words. There's some people that it's rare you hear him say a word. Huh? Here tonight, there's some people that laugh, carry on, and you almost got to put a sock in their mouth to have church. Right? And there's others that if you call them to pray, they'd melt into liquid under the seat. Does that make them bad? No. You need to understand people. And then when they're hurting, you need to sit down and learn and understand people. And when they're going through trials, you need to sit down and listen. Listen to what they're saying that don't make sense. When they're so discouraged and so down, and what they're telling you don't line up, don't make sense, instead of judging them, try to understand that they're hurting. And love one another. Are we okay tonight? I'm trying to help us. Oh, God, help me help us. A good encourager are comfortable with your fears and failures as much as they are with your hopes and dreams. It's hard to get somebody to be an encourager when you're full of fear and failures. We'll jump on the wagon and help you with your hopes and dreams. Huh? We okay tonight? I'm going to hurry here. How about Ephesians 4:29? It says, and you wonder, this verse ain't just about cussing, but it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. My speech to you when we're, as an encourager, ought to be to minister grace to you. I'll let you. Now, corrupt communication may be a dirty word. Yes, it may. It may, but it might just be a negative word. It might just be a word that'll bust your bubble. Huh? Yeah. You know, we don't need to say to a lady come by and say, I think my mascara's wrong. Well, your lipstick looks awful too. And you don't do that. It may be true. But you don't do that. To that person, it may be corrupt communication. Are you understanding tonight? I'm trying to be so simple. Hebrews 10. We're talking about encouraging, right? And let us consider one another to provoke to love and to good works. Have you not ever tried to love somebody and motivate them to do something right? Huh? Do you know that there's other people started bus routes since we've had our bus routes going? We provoked them to good works. That's what's caused it. Do you know that? They wouldn't have thought of it any other time. We okay? Everybody hang with me now. But look here, we're talking about encouragement. It says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Well, what they got to do with encouragement? It says, as a manner of some, but exhorting one another. Did you know that coming together at church is encouraging?
Yes.
Do you know the fuller the church is, the more encouraged everybody is? Yes. But when they ain't as much many here that looks like the rapture done took place. Huh? People get discouraged. Can I tell you one that gets discouraged? Huh? Do you know when you miss, I wonder if you're coming back? When you miss. Now, if a husband and wife, if one comes, the other don't, I don't think it. But if the husband and wife are both gone, I always say, I wonder if he'll be back. Every time. If I know you're going through maybe a little trouble, I've told Cheryl 100 times. I said, well, I wonder if he'll come back. Why? Because you wasn't here. Do you understand what I'm saying? You say, well, why would you think that? Because others have left. And I can't help but think it. We okay? I'm talking about us being an encourager. We all right? Huh? How about comforting one another? This will be the last one tonight. That's the plenty in it. 2 Corinthians 1:3-7. You ever wonder why you go through some things? Talk to me.
Yeah.
You ever wonder why you got to go through some stuff?
Yeah.
Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So we go through some stuff. Have thus in our mind, we go through it, and then the Lord helps us so we can have to get that help and then help somebody else that's thinking or feeling or going through the same thing. Or different even. Because ours says first tribulation, and the next thing says trouble. Are we okay? For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Everybody still follow me? And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. In other words, we go through it sometimes for others, and sometimes we go through it just so He can help us. Sometimes we'll have a problem just so He can come by and love on us. Huh? Ain't that sweet? And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall be also of the consolation. I think that means that He's okay. And He helps us be okay. All right? 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Comfort yourselves together. We ought to comfort one another. We've had a lot of death. We've had a lot of death. Do you realize tomorrow, I think it's like tomorrow will be their 8th funeral, tomorrow, since November. The 8th funeral since November. That's a lot to go off in this church. Affiliated with this church. Somebody's hurting. I try to comfort Shane a little bit because I've lost my dad. But Becky, I can't comfort you as much because I ain't lost my mama yet. But when mommy dies, you can help me. And I know you will. I know you will. But I can only do so much for you. I can have sympathy, but I can't have the empathy. But I can sit down and try and talk to you and listen. What's going on? How you hurt? Sometimes I just give you something to eat and clap your hands and go. Okay, but you understand. Are y'all understanding tonight? We gotta love one another. I know we're late. Y'all's okay with me, ain't you? Loving one another, loving the brethren. Think on these things. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for our church. Thank you for my big family. Not just here. But Lord, you give me a family all over this world. Someday we'll get to be together. I can't wait to sit down with some people I've never met. And they're going to have that new name. And you know all of our last name, if we got one, it'll be your name. Because we're all one family. Help me to love like that now. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Let's go home.